Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion. That's what we're going to bring you, our opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. It is March 2nd, 2020. It's Monday. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday to you, too. And, it's been a... Seems... What happened to February?
Out like a lion.
I guess. I don't know. It's pretty breezy here on the eastern shore of Maryland today, so I'd have to say we're coming into March like a lion, and hopefully we'll go out with a lamb. Hopefully. For this part of the country anyway. So I hope wherever you're at across this great nation that your temperatures are exactly what you would like them to be. And if it's not, well, tomorrow's another day. And what another day we had today in the markets. There's multiple, let me count thy ways. But of course we all know the underlying fundamentals, we know what that is putting pressure on these markets and so forth. And, the fundamentals just aren't there to keep the paper market strong. And, of course, we'll see a little bit of pressure on gold today. We did have gold up, as I said, on Friday. We had a high of 1602, but throughout the day, pressure was on it with the stock market capturing some of their losses. From last week. So we have gold up 1.90 at 1,588. Silver was up 5 cents today at 1,679. We have platinum down $2 at 866 and palladium down 75 at 2,564, just a little over 3%. The USDX today was down 0.59 at 97.53. And crude oil was up 2.55 at 47.31. And the stock market today, it was up big. It was up big, up 5%. And let's see, 1,295 points, 26,703. The NASDAQ was up 384, 4.5%, 8,952. The S&P was up 136, up a little over 4.5%, 3,090. 10-year yield, 1.09, and of course that wasn't the low, but as of now it's 1.09%, down 0.04. And, the European Asian markets, Hong Kong was down 2.5, Japan was down over 3.5, London was positive, Germany was basically flat. And I think most of that is based on, as I mentioned on Friday, Jerome Powell, but I guess now we have a concentrated effort from all central banks around the world pretty much looking to, commit to rate cuts, although I did see, was it the UK, the European Union, one of them did a rate increase last week, but they're all willing to do whatever is necessary to stem the bleeding of these paper markets due to the coronavirus. And, of course, Jerome Powell said, if necessary, they'll do the emergency rate cut. I said that on Friday, or they'll just wait until... the next meeting, which I think, Dave, is what, March 18th, somewhere around in there. So we'll have to see if that is the equation there. So lots going on, and of course, we'll talk a lot about those things into the program, but today we're going to talk about gold heading into this first segment of the program. And Dave, I believe you write in your article this week, the American Survival Newsletter, which hopefully will be out later today, is the gold roller coaster that we've seen.
That's true, Melody. To paraphrase an old saying, investing, like life, is like a roller coaster ride. You can either scream every time there's a bump, or you can throw your hands up and enjoy the ride. Well, we're seeing that investing of all types is like a roller coaster ride, certainly not for the faint of heart. For now, forget about the stock market's march to historic highs last month, only to be followed by its nosedive into correction territory last week. And again, forget about the rise up again today. Instead, let's focus for a little while on precious metals. Now, the new decade has brought gold investors tantalizing ups and tormenting downs so far. Since January 1st, gold is up almost 3% as of this morning in the New York spot market. It's been up as high as over 11% this year on February 20th, with lots of topsy-turvy in between. Now, look how we got here. In January, the price of gold closed up 14 days, about two-thirds of trading days, and closed down 7 days, moving overall from $1,520 an ounce on the 1st to $1,583 on the 31st, up about 4% for the month. Now, February wasn't much less dizzying. Gold closed up 11 days during the month, that's about 58% of trading days, and closed down 8 days, going from $1,583 on February 1st to $1,586 on the 29th. So overall, gold was up $3 for the month, or about 0.2%.
Tell us about today's movements.
Well, today, you know, the movements of our favorite precious metal deserve to serve as the template for the newest ride at Universal Studios. After starting the day at 1586, roughly, gold quickly jumped to 1602, then just as rapidly dropped to 1591. Next, it rode the next hill to crest just shy of 1602 again before falling back to that 1591 level and then rising to 1596. Falling to 1592 and finally climbing one more time to settle at 1597 at 12 noon. That's just lunchtime. All told, gold rose at least 22 times and fell at least 20 times on its half-day ride to lunch. Bottom line, after all those ups, downs, and all-arounds, gold stands at 1597 going into what was sure to be another wild afternoon ride, finishing up just a tad by the end of the trading day. Now, who can blame you if you're running to the pharmacy for refills of Dramamine and Lorazepam?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, coronavirus, I mean, everyone is pointing to the coronavirus, but there really are more fundamental factors, the underlying factors that I believe has just as much impact on the price of gold and why you buy gold. You just don't buy gold for the coronavirus and, you know, for the drops in prices. Coronavirus was just one of those white swans. We really don't know the impact of it yet. And as I said from day one, I'm not so sure what the medical impact is going to be, the health impact is going to be on the coronavirus, but it seems economically it's going to have a major impact. At least this is, you know, and then I still go back, Dave, to 9/11. You know, heading into 9/11, we were ready to head right into a major recession. Mm-hmm. 9/11 happened, and afterwards everyone became, you know, all patriotic and you know, Wall Street and all kinds of financial new instruments were being created for the subprime buyer. And, you know, the next thing you know, everything is heyday and houses were ATMs and, you know, people were using their equities, and that's brought us to 2008. So I'm wondering, you know, are we going to experience, we were heading into a recession prior to the coronavirus. And so it'll be interesting to see how it ends. But I can't imagine, as deep in debt as the rest of the nations around the world, including ours, and central banks trading at negative rates and are soon to be, that they have a whole lot of gunpowder left or powder left in order to change direction as far as the paper markets. I mean, they can do anything, but so yeah, there's fear of recession, climbing debt. We got violence all over the world. I mean, this isn't going to stop tomorrow.
Yeah, this investment vertigo is certain to continue at least over the short run, over the next couple of months. Now, aside from gold and silver's moves today, and they were bigger moves earlier in the day, as Melody indicated, ended up much more modest moves. But we see that stocks are starting a new week, and in a 4.5 to 5% rebound that's rife still with volatile trading as Wall Street tries to reverse its worst week since the financial crisis. We know that all three of the major U.S. markets fell more than 11% last week and had their biggest weekly declines since October 2008. Both the Dow and S&P had fallen for seven straight days. And although the VIX Volatility Index, which measures investor fear, is, or at least was, midday down 15%, it's still more than double than where it was just 10 days ago. So people are expecting continuing volatility, at least over the next 30 days.
Well, I expect the volatility to continue. What say you?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, for one thing, the 2020 election season heats up this week. Some might say it started heating up over the weekend, but 14 states have primary elections tomorrow, including the biggies, California and Texas. And history suggests that Super Tuesday, as it's called, has rarely been good for the stock market, better for gold. Since 1996, both the S&P and Dow Jones average have fallen about 83% of the time in the periods leading up to Super Tuesday, with each benchmark falling an average of almost 0.75%. Now, a number of analysts expect there to be continued turbulence around these contests tomorrow, adding to an already volatile market backdrop. Even before the coronavirus rocked markets, experts cautioned that the 2020 presidential election could be a source of some bumpiness leading all the way up to the election in November. Still, it's important for investors to avoid making emotional decisions, especially based on politics, with your own portfolio. Since 1928, only three presidents have seen the stock market end up lower on their watch. This time could be a little bit different. We will see, depending on where things go.
Yeah, but the one thing that has happened with all presidents since 1928, and, well, since 1933, and then again in 1964, and then again in 1970, is the purchasing power continues declining under each and every president. Our debt continues to increase under each president, and it's only because of Wall Street and corporate welfare that has kept the markets, you know, perhaps from, you know, all manipulation, same way with gold, from really being at the levels they should be. So that might be true, but your purchasing power continues to decline, and I don't care who's in office, whether it's President Trump, whether it's, you know, whether it was Obama, whether it was Bush, whether it was Clinton, whether it was any of them, your purchasing power continues to decline. Pardon?
Point well taken.
So you also add that besides strategists at several too big to fail banks, they believe that these numbers still have to go further in the paper markets.
Well, that's true. For example, one of them said, don't buy this dip, at least not right now, saying it might be riskier this time around than, say, in December 2018. And Treasuries, too. I mean, they've joined the downward ride, falling to their all-time lows, in fact, late last week. Bellwether 10-year yield fell below 1.04%. For the first time ever over the weekend, And as Melody indicated, the top of today's program was trading around 1.1 later today.
What people don't get, I mean, think of all those treasuries out there that people are running into, and look what they're going to be paying. Do you think that's going to beat your inflation? I mean, there isn't anything out there that's going to beat inflation except gold. I mean, gold is the, you know, the hedge against inflation. And so, yeah, Dave, it's but nobody ever thinks about that and what it really does to these markets and everything when you have these levels. It is basically free money. I mean, so everybody can get in onto the game, but wait till the rates start rising again and how many go under because they can't. It's the same thing that they always do. And I was listening to a radio program this weekend when I was driving, and you know, he was touching on that. I was kind of surprised to hear somebody actually talking about inflation and then all these rates being so low. And it's, you know, the Fed doesn't have much room to play. Even, you know, we have the dollar index down from its recent highs, Dave. That's a, you know, it's a start, but it's going to go a lot further.
Indeed. I mean, after rising steadily over the past month, the dollar indexes, the U.S. dollar indexes, fallen about 2.3 percentage points from its 2020 high of 99.9 on February 20th into the 97.2 area, its lowest level since the end of January. And oil futures, they extend their steep losses. With U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude falling below $45 a barrel. And, of course, the international benchmark Brent crude continued its slide, too, to below $49 before, I believe, that corrected a little bit or reversed a little bit today.
Well, you know, we continue to see the numbers rise over the weekend on the coronavirus, including here in the U.S., Dave. You know, more than 89,000 cases happened. And I'm sure, heck, in the last few minutes, that's probably gone up. But can't even keep track of it. But so, ladies and gentlemen, we don't mean to be wrong on those numbers, but they do keep climbing. But there was 89,000 cases confirmed around the world. You have 3,000 virus-related deaths. And the numbers here in the States continue to rise, Dave.
Well, it was 43 earlier today. It's now, I just read, over 90, spreading to 10 states with the 2 deaths in Washington State so far. Check out the rest of the article at dgscoins.com, or you can read it on our Facebook page at dgscoins.
We're heading into a break, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I can't believe it's March. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, these radio programs are archived. And you can listen live right at the top of the radio page, so make sure you get to the website, dgscoins.com. Let's see. We were talking about the coronavirus and the number of increases, but, you know, and we were also talking about some other issues. And let's just touch on these briefly, Dave. You know, we have manufacturing that's beginning to slow down in the U.S. and China. And this is the first data from the Institute for Supply Management showing that manufacturing in the U.S. grew at a slower than expected pace last month. It fell to 50.1 in February from 50.9. Doesn't seem to be a real big drop, but it's still lower. And any reading above 50 indicates expansion. Production fell by 4 percentage points last month, while the new orders index fell to 49.8 from 52. Now that's a little bit bigger of a drop. And the slow growth in U.S. manufacturing last month coincided with the coronavirus. And of course, we see this spreading through China and, you know, throughout the rest of the world. And of course, all expectations for global economic growth is downward, corporate profits downward. And there was one that the Caxon Market Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. That's a mouthful. Don't they have any initials for that one?
The CMMPMI.
The CMMPM, huh?
There you go.
The CMMPM index came in today, 40.3 for February. And actually, this was the lowest reading. The survey was actually launched in early of 2004. Now, this was the lowest reading since 2004. So, you know, both sides of the you know, supply and demand, both sides are weak, stagnant, whatever you want to call it. But you got to remember, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't all from the coronavirus. We were seeing these downward responses, predictions, and whatever you want to call them, expectations, way before the coronavirus. So these expectations basically are getting a double whammy, Dave.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, these supply chains are coming to a standstill, particularly in China, where they extended the Lunar New Year there. Multiple local governments implemented restrictions on transportation and the movement of people in efforts to control the epidemic, essentially a shutdown involving early on as 40 to 50 million people. So things are falling and are going to be below even the revised downward expectations, I think, as the first and second quarters move on. And it's so hard to predict what's going to happen here because, I mean, as difficult as it is to project these kinds of things in the first place, no one knows how long this coronavirus is going to go on and spread. So, you know, we see these economists that Oxford Economics, for one, she thought that there'd be a strong rebound in China's growth going into the second half of the year. But that, again, I think I won't even characterize it as optimistic. I just think it's premature. Same for others like Julian Evers Pritchard, who's a China economist, sees more modest growth. But again, we don't know. And we won't for some time.
Well, you know, before we move on, you know, we continue to hear President Trump pressure the prep Fed. And what's interesting is Jim Cramer, you know, he's a Wall Streeter, not my favorite, but he says it doesn't matter what the Fed does. If the Fed cuts rates, it's just not going to matter. He says that the only cure for the stock market's volatility is the vaccine or beating the virus. He says unless they can do that, it's not going to matter. And I think if the Fed lowers the rate, it's going to be a worse impact than a helpful one. You're going to get these knee-jerk reactions like we had today. But how long is that going to last when they come out with more reports that there's more cases and more deaths? Then it doesn't matter. And he's right. If he cuts it, that's all going to just out the window. It's not going to matter. It's just going to be a knee-jerk reaction to that. Anything you'd like to add to that?
No. I think that's those are the main points. And again, there's just so much conjecture going on right now, and that's why I think the next couple of weeks and months in particular are going to be good for gold, because as uncertain as things have been, that uncertainty I think is going to ratchet up to near unprecedented levels as this thing goes on.
Well, we've certainly seen, you know, we talk about making sure that, you know, you have some spare food in your homes, get stored up, some water, and people go crazy. And everybody, and we know, we have no supplies in these stores. You know, the stores have, what, a three-day, you know, if the trucking gets stopped, there's, what, a 3 days worth of supplies in the stores. And we're seeing that, you know, people are lining up at the Costco stores across the country. Of course, they're stocking up on water, paper towels. They're buying things in bulk. And this is amid the spreading of the coronavirus. At least one analyst is already anticipating Costco's sales. You know, they're trying to push the stock. But the point is, you know, it's really sad that they're pushing the stock based on a on something that could be very serious.
Crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's what they're trying to do. The analyst is trying to, you know, push their get people to buy their stocks. But yeah, you're going to Costco might be one, at least temporarily. So I suppose in a good way, you can have the coronavirus help various. But to me, that's not the story. The story is how so many items can disappear so quickly. And again, the supplies will diminish. I mean, hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, sales up 73% over the 4 weeks. Medical masks surged 319%. An Oregon Costco store reported it ran out of toilet paper over the weekend for the first time in its history. Heck, that didn't even happen during Y2K. But you know what, Dave? It's interesting because if you talk to most people, they're not concerned about getting the virus. But I know, I think about, well, you know what? I want to see this movie, but I'm not going to go. I'll wait. So it's not something that it's a fear that I'm going to get the virus. It's a fear I just don't want to be around other people that might be sick and have it. Mm-hmm. So if I think that way, where I really don't have a fear of it, think about all these same people around this country who might not fear about getting it, but just don't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
Do you think that, or?
Well, there's soon going to be, we have one baby in our house. There's soon to be a second one. And I don't want to say that our concerns are at the level of worry. And sometimes I guess we can get into a game of semantics, but we're aware. And I think that that's the most important thing right now, is to be aware of what's happening to this disease, and to the extent it spreads, and particularly closer or along the eastern seaboard. It's now, at least in Maine, Massachusetts, New York, and I think one other eastern state. And that's soon going to be, we're soon going to see instances in every state in the union, presumably. And so it's going to, for us, our family, it's going to be making sure that we keep the babies away from, a lot of large public gatherings for the next month, two or three. And they're coming out, or the new ones coming out, just may be a little bit longer, take a little bit longer than our one-year-old guy.
But yeah, I think you said it great. You're just a little more aware, and certainly don't want to put, smaller or elderly at risk.
Yeah, yeah.
So
for sure.
And it's going to hurt retailers. I mean, poor JCPenney, their fourth quarter earnings reported last week. I guess it did top their expectations, but they still had steep sales declines during the holiday season. And the company has also expects to close at least 6 of its department stores in 2020. They've already shuttered 18 and 9 furniture shops last year. So, a lot of more specific details about these plans are going to be provided during a conference call on April 7th. And so a lot can happen between now and April 7th, particularly with this, coronavirus. And again, if people stay out of stores, it could be a whole lot worse than what they're expecting, Dave.
Indeed. I mean, especially with same store sales down almost 8% going into the new year. And starting off the new year with those disappointing holiday sales, I'd be surprised if the number of closures and layoffs don't end up being higher, if not a lot higher, than what they're saying right now.
Well, it's interesting to listen to all these financial news. Always trying to pick that one stock out that might be good. But here's an interesting one. Dave, why don't you do it? I got a little frog in my throat.
Oh, that's fine. Well, as the coronavirus continues to pressure global markets, too big to fail Goldman Sachs said there's at least one asset class that's safe, and here's a rare time when we're going to agree with them. It's gold. Goldman's Jeff Curry said that while so much about the current environment remains unclear, there's one thing he thinks isn't, and that's gold, which, unlike people in our economies, is immune to the coronavirus. As we mentioned earlier, gold rallied more than 2% during early trading this morning, although it's coming off its worst week since 2016. Gold is considered a safe haven asset because it typically retains its value during times of volatility. And amid the broad wave of selling last week, investors happened to reduce their exposure to gold as well. And on Friday, prices fell over 4%. Still, Goldman says it's the currency of last resort. Always has been. Well, not always has been. It used to be the currency of first resort. But it avoids the concern that paper currencies could be a medium of transfer for the virus. So, as a result, gold has outperformed other safe haven assets like the Japanese yen and Swiss franc. And Curry, for one, Goldman, says it's a trend that they see continuing as long as uncertainty around the full impact of the coronavirus remains. So, again, we don't see ourselves agreeing with these two big to fail institutions, which have caused so much havoc on the nation's economy and on particularly individuals' lives, going back to the financial crisis. But here's an exception, Melody.
Well, you know, he makes it sound like gold's only good for the coronavirus.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, but there's a whole lot more to it, ladies and gentlemen. And this was just the boost that gold needed. And it was interesting, Dave. I was up early watching the early morning markets. I mean, even before the markets opened, there was a 1,000-point movement in the paper markets in the Dow. And I'm thinking to myself, if there's a 1,000-point movement, it's all done. I said to myself, I thought to myself, I'll guarantee you the market's probably up 1,000 points by the end of the day. I mean, that was just a number that, you know, it was so specific. And, you know, here we have the Dow up, 5%. So it's, but when you have that type of volatility, even before the markets opened, and yeah, they were able to maintain it to the upside. I can't imagine it's going to be really strong for the rest of the week. I can't imagine that this is a long-term follow-through on just because of a half a point increase or decrease coming from the Fed. I just can't imagine. But anyway, because just like Jim Cramer said, the problem is still going to exist. The coronavirus still exists. Half a point's not going to do anything fixing that problem. But are there parts? Are we already seeing an automotive problem?
Apparently so. Apparently, automakers are scrambling to find parts and prevent shortages in their supply chain. Did I hear the music back there?
You did. You did. Great ears, Dave. And we'll finish that up when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and we'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And, you know, Dave, someone said to me today, so-and-so said that gold is going to go lower, so I'm going to wait to buy. And I think to myself, and I remember Bob Chapman, it's like, if you're going to buy, you just buy. There's more upside potential than there is downside. I mean, the chances of it going higher is greater than it going lower. And then I asked him, well, how low do you expect it to go? Well, I don't know. Well, then how can you have a strike price knowing when you're going to get into the market? Well, and the one thing that is different with gold, the real metal, not the miners or anything else, or ETFs, with physical gold, you convert those paper dollars that you have, the fiat dollars, into real money. That's what you're doing. And to try and guess where the prices are going to go is really, you know, it's how much do you really save if it goes down $5?
It's extremely risky. And statistics, I used to know this off the top of my head, but statistics would tell, especially with equities, because there's a lot more research on it than gold and silver. Right. But market timers tend to do significantly worse.
Yeah.
Than others who are in it with either regular or periodic investing through dollar cost averaging. And so that should be not just a lesson to us, especially as lay investors, but it ought to be, I mean, food for thought that really playing the market timing game, I mean, you might as well just roll a couple of dice and see where the numbers come up, because that's really all you're doing.
And the thing of it is, when people try to time the markets, they're not disciplined enough. Because they don't, to the upside or to the downside. Because when it's going down, you always think it's going lower, and then you wait and wait and wait, and the next thing you know, it's higher. You're just not disciplined enough. Few people are. And you can't watch it 24/7. And you don't really know how low. You don't know enough about the item in order to make great decisions. You listen to somebody. You listen to somebody who tells you to wait because it's going lower. Who is this person? What's their record? What do they say? I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And Dave, you're right. I mean, it's trying to time the market is just really difficult to do.
It is. I once had a financial advisor friend. This was back in the days when I oversaw the issuance of bonds for a town I worked for, and got the best advice from this financial advisor, who said, I was at a time of volatility in the municipal bond market. Treasuries in general were going up and down, and not by large amounts, but with a lot of day-to-day fluctuation. And, you know, the non-professional, those of us who didn't follow it every day, None of us was, were treasury traders, for example. We had our own opinions. Well, it seems to be going down, the rates. Let's just wait another week or two. And he said, you know what, Dave? He said, I hear you. That could happen, but just as easily it might go the other way. Rather than wait for the lowest point, let's just agree up front on a rate that you want to achieve. So if that rate was, say, I forget what it would have been back then, but let's just say 3% even for the 10-year treasury. Well, once rates hit 3%, 2.9%, well, that was the time to go to the market and try and sell our bonds. It's even different with gold than that, but I think in general, unless you spend an awful lot of time researching this kind of stuff, boy, I just think you're asking for a lot of trouble with the speculative guessing game.
I agree with you. Chevron, how about them offering employees buyouts? So the lower price in oil is already impacting?
Yeah, geez, they're offering buyouts to reduce their oil exploration and production workforce. That's coming as the company moves to cut costs in the face of these sharply lower oil and gas prices. Now, the number two U.S. oil producer has decided to reduce staff after reviewing operations late last year as energy prices began to steadily fall. It confirmed that it was offering buyouts to workers in its shale gas business in the eastern U.S. Other oil and gas producers and service companies have begun cutting workers in that area as well. Now, one of the sources said that employees who accept Chevron's buyout offer could remain until October of this year. Now, Chevron employed over 48,000 workers globally at the end of last year. That's already down 7,000 from just 3 years ago. A little more than half of its workers are in the U.S., Melody.
Well, this, I'm not sure what I think about this, Dave, or what the outcome might be, but the White House said today that it's imposing a cap on the number of Chinese citizens permitted to work for China's major state-run media companies in the United States at any given time. Mike Pompeo tweeted today that he tweeted, "Today we announced a personal cap on Chinese government-controlled media organizations in the United States. We urge Beijing to respect freedom of expression and will continue to seek reciprocity across the bilateral relationship." This cap comes weeks after China revoked the press credentials of three Wall Street Journal reporters that were based in Beijing. And the reporters were expelled after the over an opinion piece that was printed in the journal whose headline referred to China as the real sick man of Asia. Mm-hmm. I have to look that up and read it. Mm-hmm. The move marked the first time since the era of Mao that China has expelled multiple journalists from one international news organization. And Pompeo said our goal is reciprocity. Is this really over that article, or does this have to do with coronavirus?
That's a good question. I suspect it's not the coronavirus. I mean, that could have just been sort of a confirmation issue that, well, if they're going to do this, now's a good time to do it. I honestly think it's the good old revenge factor that some people believe has been sort of a hallmark of some members of this administration. I mean, Pompeo himself, talked about reciprocity. I think it's just another word in this case for revenge. I mean, after all, he is the Secretary of State, the chief diplomat of our country. It also could certainly is. I lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry, Melody.
But so how many does that relate to? I mean, they did it on a percentage basis, right? But I don't know.
It's five media organizations. Yeah. They're cutting it from 160 to 100.
So it's more than three.
Ah, yes. Can say it's a proportionate...
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I get it. I mean, you can see China do it because that's the government that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the United States do it, and even though I might agree that, you know, it's... I'm not quite sure exactly what these people do. You know, is it in their news or is it... There wasn't one thing pointed. You're right. It was just a response.
Yeah, these people, I would presume, are reporters largely. Some broadcasters, some writers, some sort of managing editor types. Yeah, I don't know if there's something more nefarious that we're not being told. I mean, just sheer speculation, you know, if there's spying issues that may have prompted this action. But again, I think it's easy to think that it's little more than revenge and sort of giving us a little leg up on the Chinese.
Well, you know, and here, you know, I was talking to some, the Huawei Technologies, which for years denied violating America trade sanctions on Iran, produced internal company records from 2010 that show it was directly involved in sending prohibited U.S. computer equipment to Iran's largest mobile phone operator. Two Huawei packing lists included computer equipment made by Hewlett-Packard and destined for the Iranian carrier. Another Huawei document dated February 2011 stated currently the equipment is delivered to Tehran and waiting for the customer custom clearance. Packing lists and other internal documents provide the strongest evidence to date of Huawei's involvement in alleged trade sanction violations. And, of course, now this could bolster Washington's multifaceted campaign to check the power of Huawei. And, you know, Huawei being, you know, the world's leading telecommunications equipment maker. So, I mean, I'm not sure. The U.S. has been trying to persuade. I think they're trying to do a little more than just persuade, but trying to persuade allies to avoid using Huawei equipment. I think the U.K. is going to use their equipment. And I think that's, you know, but, you know, the 5G, I mean, that's what they're, that is their equipment, their next generation mobile telecommunication systems is that 5G. And there's so many issues with 5G. I was even reading something today, some sort of just weird connections. I don't think anybody knows yet exactly, but it's really not a good thing. But so we'll see how that plays out. So we might have the trade agreement, you know, phase one done, but it seems like the United States and China have a long way to go in buttoning up a lot of these other issues that seem to be growing. And today you heard a lot of talk, Dave, about the Taliban and a treaty and an accord between the United States and the Islamist Taliban. It was signed on Saturday. And I guess the two sides are committed to working together or toward the release of combat and political prisoners as confidence-building measures. 5,000 of them. So the Taliban militants said they will not take part in intra-Afghan talks until the Afghan government releases 5,000 of their prisoners. I don't know if that's going to happen, Dave. What say you?
Well, it's, I don't know if it matters what I say, but Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, who wasn't involved in this particular aspect of the talks, has rejected that demand. This Taliban spokesperson said if our 5,000 prisoners don't get released, they're talking about March 10th, that's coming quickly, there will be no intra-Afghan talks. And, you know, after more than 18 years of war, the U.S. was hoping that negotiations toward a permanent political settlement and ceasefire could start in coming days. But now with these Taliban militants hedging, we will see what happens. Things we might not be getting out of there as soon as we had hoped.
Well, what we are going to get out of is this program right now. We're out of time. And thank you, Dave. It was great to hear from you, talk to you today. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.